Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapara Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathang Vithang Tang Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vithangscha Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangolang Hayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamahang Bande Sri Gurundina Tarinam Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himavadivyat Chavisundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Yes, Prabhu.
We have a question from Rameshwara Prabhu, Robert Grant. Rises the question of how to best save all the masses of humanity from being under the influence of false so-called modern conceptions of life and of evolution and of all cosmological questions.
Oh, it's very simple. Mahaprabhu himself came, descended for this purpose, you could say. I mean, we're, you know, including, putting it all as one, lumping it all as one. And when he was still Nimai Pandit, we know when he returned from Gaya and underwent this transformation, right? I mean, these are his pastimes. Gadadhar and the other devotees thought, as Nimai Pandit, the scholar, that he was perfect in every way, except he wasn't a devotee of Krishna. Which is a type of sweet undercurrent of humor. Because he's Krishna. So to point out that Krishna is not a devotee of Krishna is mildly, if not infinitely, humorous. Right? So they're saying he's perfect in every way, but he's not a devotee. Yes, that's a fact. Right? And if Krishna can be converted into a devotee, then who cannot be converted into a devotee? Right? Radharani's number one convert, Krishna. So the infinite finds it so mysteriously, curiously charming that he wants to experience that position. But as Yoga Maya would have it, the way these pastimes play out, he appears in a particular way and he will gradually embrace the position of a devotee. And it's interesting because two aspects are there. And here we'll just say, you know, Bhakta Bhav. I mean, that's sub sha bhaktevya sudham nijabhajana mudra mupadishan. Rupa Goswami says in the Chaitanya Astakam, how he descends into this world to embrace the position of a devotee. But we see, not just any devotee, ultimately, when he withdraws from his external preaching, he goes internal to not just Bhakta Bhav, but the highest type of Bhakta Bhav, Radha Bhav. Radha Bhava Duti Subalita. This is what is revealed in the Charitamritam. But in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where the emphasis is on the Adi Leela, the pastimes leading up to his sannyas, and they abruptly conclude thereafter. And Chaitanya Charitamritam begins with his sannyas. In a general way, we can say that. In other words, a substantial part of the pastimes. So to go to Chaitanya Bhagavat in this period, where he is comes back from Gaya, and is suddenly, you know, like a new devotee, to the delight of all the devotees, Gadadhar Pandit included, and Navadvip, to see this marvelous transformation, that Krishna is transforming into a devotee, in a sense, just to underscore. And how happy, they're beyond delighted to see this. But we know, as we hear there, it's not appreciated by everyone. Some, they think he's lost his mind, he's become, as he plunges the depths of Gopi Bhav and expresses Maan, the loving anger they sometimes express towards Krishna. Like when someone says, why are you chanting the name, you know, Gopi, Gopi? You should chant the name of Krishna. And say, Krishna, he's a despicable man. So on one hand, he's supposed to be a devotee. On the other hand, it appears that he's blaspheming Krishna. It's a little confusing, the situation. But it's Gopi Bhav. When they feel wronged by Krishna, this type of loving anger comes out, that makes Krishna very enchanted and happy. So now he is experiencing that. So then, now Krishna is blaspheming Krishna, and he's couldn't be more delighted. And then you say, what is preaching Krishna consciousness? But that said, those in Navadvip who are not appreciating this transition of his, they're rising up against him. And at one point he laments, you know, well, we're told just prior to that perhaps that, you know, like some, his ecstasy manifests in different ways. So at one point, he's laughing wildly, madly, for 9 hours. If you think about it, in this world, if somebody was laughing uncontrollably for 9 minutes, we would be alarmed. But for 9 hours, you know, and so his mother's thinking like, oh, Nimai's lost his mind. What to do, you know, consult the Ayurveda and say, oh, you know, Brahmi Rasayam, or what is it? The Vishnu oil, different things, you know, like put some of this oil on his head. And she put some oil on his head, no relief. Then, you know, a bottle, no relief. Then she thinks, make a bathtub full of that oil, submerge him in there, and he's in the bathtub splashing, laughing wildly, madly, continuously, nonstop. And she's saying, Nimai's lost his mind. And Srivas Thakur comes to visit, and when he sees Satchimata saying, look at Nimai, he's gone mad. And Srivas Thakur's answer is, what he's got, I want a drop of that. Hare Krishna. So then he stops laughing and says, Hare Krishna. Srivas, if you thought I was mad, then I would just withdraw from this world. But that you understand the situation, that gives me some hope, some encouragement. But with the growing opposition to the transition of Nyamai Pandit and his newfound devotion. They're speaking against him, committing offenses in various ways. And that's when he says that, I came with the medicine that can deliver them, the so-called Piplikanda. Saying, I've come with that medicine that's meant to save everyone. But what is the condition that has evolved? The patient is abusing the doctor. And inadvertently, of course, this is part of his pastimes to lead him to a particular conclusion. But he's saying, and I'm responsible for that. So what is the remedy? Right. He realizes, so he's the yoga avatar. He knows that. And he's come with the medicine that can save everyone. What are we saying in the song? Anechi Oshodi Maya Nasi Borulagi Harinama Maha Mantra Lao Tumi Mai. This is the Oshud, means medicine. Is the Harinam Maha. I've come with this, and now everyone is abusing me. So what to do? He decides to take sannyas. Because understanding the culture and the climate of the day, if he will take sannyas, then automatically the people will respect him and revere him and offer respect, and that will counteract all the offenses, and then they'll be able to receive the medicine that he came to give. And we're told, after taking sannyas, Guru Maharaj would sometimes sing this line, Nadia Darkore, Gora Jaire, the light of Navadvip has gone, when they realize what they've done. But after so many years, he comes back, perhaps 6 years, 5-6 years, to Navadvip. And at that time, he forgives all the offenders their offenses. And the place is known as the Aparad Bhanjaner Pat. That place where all the aparadis are forgiven, all the offenders are forgiven their offenses. So, so there's the medicine. Like a vaccine in a plague, when there's a plague, if you rephrase this question and say, so there's this plague in the modern world, how to vaccinate everyone. Right? So that's a noble, but few things have to be taken into consideration, as in some instances, the people need to recognize they have an illness. Right? In other cases, what is the vaccine? You could say it's a good idea to vaccinate everyone when there's an epidemic. But what is all important is the vaccine. What is the quality of that? Is it the thing that will relieve their suffering condition? So we mentioned the other day, perhaps it was on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, referencing Srila Saraswati Thakur, that he, one thing I said, quoting Guru Maharaj, he said, Western civilization, crush it. Right? That was his idea. Right? And that kirtan means a fight. Right? Because we can say, well, the Yuga Dharma for the Kali Yuga is the Nam Sankirtan. So then everywhere we should chant Nam Sankirtan. And that'll deliver the desired result. We do that, and we should continue to do that. But Guru Maharaj has pointed out in an interpretive way that, and not that he was interpreting, these are the words of Saraswati Thakur. He said, kirtan means a fight. means the Krishna conception versus the Mayic misconception. This is the point that I want to make, right? Addressing this question. So what it is, another way of framing this, so if kirtan is defined, it's the Krishna conception versus the Mayic misconception, right? Another way of framing this is to understand it's and what the world is about is competing narratives. Right? That's what it is. It's competing narratives. There's the Krishna conception narrative and the Mayic misconception narrative. We're in the, in the case anyone has not noticed, we are in the world where the Mayic misconception is getting all the airtime. Right? It's all pervasive. It's everywhere and everything. That's why when we talk about education and educating children, how any school that they will go to, and he said, it comes with a worldview. There's practically no subject that is taught without an underlying worldview accompanying it. Right? You would think, well, what about mathematics or something? Maybe in the sciences, but actually not. I'm just kidding. Or trying to be generous and not succeeding. Right? It all comes with a particular worldview. Right, which, you know, again, referencing this question, you have Darwinian objective evolution. What is Srila Gurumayur's response to that? The subjective evolution. Just to argue about evolution, it will be futile and not achieve the desired result. He's saying they actually run in parallel. So what is fresh, a fresh take on this, is the subjective evolution of consciousness. That the whole objective world is a, in Guru Maharaj's terms, like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. Right? There are cognitive scientists who, although it is not their intention, they give some support to the subjective evolution of consciousness as presented by Srila Guru Maharaj, actually. About what is reality, what sense perception, consciousness, all of these things. But Guru Maharaj put it quite simply, saying, the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. So it means making propaganda. We were talking about this earlier today. If you don't like the story, tell another story. If you don't like the book, write another book. And if you don't like the movie, make another movie. Right? It's all just competing narratives. People hear things, and it either resonates with them or it doesn't. There's no magic wand that you can wave and then suddenly everyone will believe in anything particularly. Right? You cannot remove the element of free will, and which means the cultivation of faith. Shraddha, Shabde, Vishwasa, Kohe, Sudrida, Nishchoy, Krishna, Bhakti, Koile, Sarva, Karma, Krita, Hoy. What is faith? We're told. You hear about this one thing and you think, that's it. That covers everything. Is there, and so it's easy to say that. Any examples? Then two examples are given from the Bhagavatam. Pouring water on the root of a tree. That shows how by putting all your energy in one place, it can be broadly distributed. Put food in the stomach. That's why these examples are there, to help us understand these concepts and principle, how they can be true, how they can be realized. But so then you, if there's a dominant narrative, and there is, right? The objective evolution. Then you have to create a counter narrative that is compelling, right? But that said, we see that just like Guru Maharaj once asked him on behalf that if he will present transmigration of the soul, the way with his use of examples, now certainly anyone will be able to hear that, read that, and understand it, accept it, embrace that. And it was being said, I said it to Guru Maharaj, and he said, if someone does not have faith, you can present a mountain of evidence and they won't believe it. Right. He said, whereas if they have faith, with a very simple example, they'll get it. And then I thought about this. Obviously from our perspective, but consider. So Krishna, as we hear in the Bhagavatam in various places, he's in the heart of every living being, right? For starters, right? It's like a default, but the Paramatma, right? So if Krishna's thinking, what would be a good example to use to express these ideas to people? Right? He's got good market research as the Paramatma, the focus group, he knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, He actually does. The Paramatma. Santa Claus may not, but the Paramatma does. So what I'm saying is, if he and has known every living entity ever, always, etc. So if he uses an example, I think it goes without saying, it's a good example. It must be a good example. Right? He could say anything he wants. And then he gives particular examples in the Bhagavad Gita. So then you could conclude, these must be really good examples. He's using them. And they're simple. That is my point that I'm saying. They're not complicated. They're very simple. Why? Because, as Guru Maharaj said, if someone has faith, Shraddha, then hearing a simple example, they'll get it. Whereas if they don't have faith, it doesn't matter the sophisticated level of your presentation, the so-called evidence backing it all up, they won't get it, they won't accept it. Right? And I said, how do you get this faith? Guru Maharaj gave two examples about that. Right? Saying, as we hear from Rupa Goswami, Ado Shraddha, that the sadhu sangho to bhajana kriya, etc. They're saying, Shraddha leads to sadhu sangha. But in another place, Guru Maharaj gives an explanation why you can reverse it and say, really, sadhu sangha awakens faith also. But before that, he said, there is agyata sukriti and sukriti. And agyata sukriti means, agyata means unknowing, right? So some unknowing contact with the nirguna plane, right? Just as an example, Guru Maharaj, say, and people used to do this, make water fountains where everyone, it was an altruistic humanitarian work, make a well, a water fountain, and all the people can come there and have a drink, slake their thirst. Right? But Guru Maharaj said, so that was the man's intention. Right? Just what do you call it? When you're doing something to help society. A charitable act. There you go. Same. But say a pure Vaishnava comes and drinks from that, then what would just have been ordinary Sukriti turns into Nitya Sukriti. He's coming in touch with the Nirguna plane. He just wanted to help everybody, but it just happened. A pure devotee came and drank that water. So now he has some connection with the Nirguna plane. So it's agyata, unknown, but that leads to gyata Sukriti, willful cooperation. Again, what is Guru Maharaj's example? A man is unconscious in an accident. Right? Then the like in the modern context, the paramedics come and they give some injections, right? And then they'll say something like, you know, raise your right arm if you can hear me. Right? And they raise their hand, you know. And now they realize that the person is awake. They can start willfully cooperating for their betterment. So it goes from agyata sukriti to gyata sukriti, from an unknown contact to knowing willful cooperation. Right. So then, as devotees of thought from time to time, well, then we should, you know, distribute like agyata sukriti. Give people prasadam, give them wonder, you know, things where, whether they knew it or not, they're kind of, there's that, I mean, it's good intentions, you could say. But still, there has to be a point where someone wants to knowingly, willfully cooperate for their betterment. So, competing narratives. If there is a narrative of Krishna consciousness, upon hearing which, some people they have an epiphany or an awakening, a sense of prospect. That in connection with this, this is the self-determination I'm looking for. Self-determination in the sense of self-discovery. Finding out who you really are, what your real purpose is, all these things. Right? Your actual identity. Right? He said it's ironic, and you know, like someone said the other day, Walt Whitman wrote, you know, Song of Myself. And then some people were saying that it's ironic that what he represented is now, and I added this to it, it's like Song of My Selfie, right? It's reached that point where he was talking about some sort of spiritual cultivation and expression, etc. And it's devolved to a point of where, through social media, people think they're actually engaged in full, you know, how would you say, unfiltered self-expression, but it's all layers of acquired tendency and acquired prejudice and the actual self buried beneath those layers. Right? So how to awaken that, like the injection that brings the patient to the point of knowing, willful cooperation. Exposure. Told competing narrative, that means exposure to the narrative of Krishna consciousness. For example, here's the objective evolution side goes something like this. There's a trillion, trillion stars in the known universe. Right? On one planet, the blue planet, right, the Earth, sustains life and conscious beings. And among these conscious beings, the elite are human beings. Right? And so you see, sat aspect, like sat chit anandam, sat existential aspect, is virtually unlimited, right? When we say a trillion trillion. Right? So a virtually unlimited objective world, you know, with scientists weighing in with different opinions about that, but just for the sake of this discussion. So the objective act, virtually unlimited, then what is consciousness? So minute, comparatively, right? So the chit aspect, conscious aspect, very exclusive. And then anandam, or the pleasure aspect, we're told in that human section, if they get lucky on a good day, they experience a drop of happiness. So this perspective, the dull, inert matter aspect, that's the most vast thing. Consciousness is minuscule, and within that consciousness, happiness is rare and short-lived. That is what I call a bleak scenario. You know, if you can get fired up about that, your prospect in that world, right? Which apparently people can. Right. Still, they're finding that some sense of prospect fulfillment, realizing their potential in that bleak scenario. Right. The subjective evolution of consciousness is the opposite. So the other narrative that we want to make propaganda in favor for, Krishna conception, is the inverse. As Gurwan said, the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. So the objective world is the small thing. Right? Elsewhere he would say, what did he say? Like cream floating on the top of a vat of milk. That's what you see, that layer. But it's just on the top. It's just floating on the top. What it's floating on is the substantial thing. In this example, that's consciousness. For people who think, well, isn't cream the best thing? It's a different example. Okay. Here it's being used because it's the thin layer that's on floating on the top of the milk. Right? And that's what he's saying. The whole objective world is that. There are cognitive scientists who give their examples about, you know, the desktop and the icons on the desktop, that kind of thing. It's very compatible with that sort of presentation. So then consciousness is vast. But if we go further in that sat chit anandam, the good news is the ultimate substance is not only anandam or happiness, but happiness, beauty, love, charm, sweetness, happiness personified to an infinite degree. That's Krishna conception. Imagine a world where anandam, or love and beauty, is that's the ultimate substance, the vast, the thing that includes everything. So in the Bhagavatam it says, Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabyate. Brahma, Brahman is the all-accommodating aspect. That means the extremes of the infinite, right? One is greater than the greatest. That's Brahman. It can fit everything in it. That's why Brahman-based philosophies seem to accommodate everything. Right? That's the nature of Brahman. It can fit everything in it, literally, metaphorically, conceptually. Right? So that's one extreme of the infinite. Paramatma, the other extreme, smaller than the smallest, when we were talking about Supersoul before. The overseer, the observer, neutral, passive. Right? He could compel, Krishna could compel everyone to obey, but that would be to remove their free will, to remove their consciousness. It has to be voluntary. Right? So Paramatma at the other extreme, all permeate, all pervasive, right? Within, smaller than the smallest. So first part, greater than the greatest, all accommodating, smaller than the smallest, all permeating. Then Guru Maharaj asks this very important question, dialectically. And he says, that if those are the extremes of the infinite, then what would be the central conception of the infinite? The golden mean, right? All accommodating, all permeating. What would be in the center? All attractive. Now it's gone in a very different, all attractive. And what the finite in relation to the center of the, being irresistibly drawn to the central conception of the infinite, which is what? Personal, the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada loved this phrase, you know, Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? Saraswati Thakur used personality of Godhead, Prabhupada not it, supreme personality of Godhead. Because there may be more personalities of Godhead. There are. Right? So many avatars. But here, so imagine, and the center, this is such a, you know, a quantum leap, ontologically, conceptually. You know, from so Brahman, all the coming, the greater than the greatest, Paramatma, all permeant. And what would Krishna say? So beautiful, you're being drawn to the center and offering yourself to the center as a consequence of love, beauty, charm, sweetness, all attractive, irresistible attraction. What does it say? Bhajaniya Sarva Sadguna Vishishta. Srila Jiva Goswami says, being irresistibly drawn toward Krishna and offering oneself, right, as the outcome. Like I saw a cute little girl on the train once. Right? And with her father, and like some man came in the compartment and was so overwhelmed by the beauty, the cuteness of this little girl. Immediately, he's offering himself to her to do, you know. That's in this world, right? That type of principle, that's so charmed by what is before him that he wants to offer himself in service. So take that principle ad infinitum to an infinite magnitude, because there's a sleeping suspicion in our minds that we're being duped. Right? All this sounds, you know, Krishna, and then you'll automatically be angry, but I'm not being attracted right now, I'm wondering. But first understand the principle. Right. If we observe this principle here, then when we trace its position in the central conception of the infinite, if that prospect does not awaken some interest in us, then obviously we're what's the word? Like when someone is not psychologically well. Like when an iron filing is not attracted to a magnet, is when it's what? Covered in rust. Something like that. When they're covered by certain things, the magnetic attraction is not there. So we're back to acquired prejudice, acquired tendency. That is what really is the meaning of sangskar. Sangskar means mental impressions that have been accumulated lifetime after lifetime. Like in art, they have the palimpsest. You know what a palimpsest is? right? Where they painted on one painting, painted again, again, again. There are layers and layers and layers. So it's like a palimpsest of misconceptions. And our actual self is beneath these layers. Cheto darpana marjanam baba mahadava agni nirvapanam. So Mahaprabhu came with Nam Sankirtan to cleanse the dust from the mirror of the mind. We know when you have a mirror, like we clean these windows today, right? When you have a mirror, a mirror is an instrument of reflection. When it's covered with dust, it loses its quality of reflection, right? It's either concealing the reflection, distorting it, or totally opaque. So here we're told the consciousness, the mind, is an instrument of reflection. When it's covered with layers and layers of acquired prejudice and acquired tendency, it's losing its reflective quality, and either distorting the image or out and out opaque. Right. So, just competing narratives. He knows very well the books, different narrative than what people are hearing. Thing. Goebbels, the famous statement attributed to Hitler's propaganda minister, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people will believe it's true. I mean, that was actually, you know, like his program. He was just saying, that's where I start. At least he was honest about it. So we're primarily in the modern world, under the influence of humanistic sloganeering. It's when Freud's nephew realized that his uncle's psychological analysis ideas could be used in advertising. And he said, if we appeal to desire that everyone has, that cannot actually be fulfilled, then how great is that? Right? The desires that everyone has that really actually cannot be fulfilled. It's like Bhagavad Gita. Right? Saying, you may try to. He realized that in terms of advertising. And said, so we will appeal to that aspect. Whereas in the 19th century, if they were selling a hammer, they'd say, this hammer, the handle's made out of mahogany, you know, or something, you know, solid wood. The claw is the best quality steel. It's very, you know, and they would just tell you, try to sell you on the basis of its qualifications. In the 20th century, what would be an example? They say, this hammer makes you feel like a man. Doesn't matter what the handle's made out of or the claw. It makes you feel like a man. And women admire men who swing this hammer. That's what he's talking about. And that brings us to the present. So it's always humanistic sloganeering. What is humanism? In the words of Solzhenitsyn, putting man with a capital M at the center of everything, removing God and saying, man is the measure of all things. See, it's a half-truth, because it's actually the human-like pastimes or the man-like pastimes of Krishna that are the measure of all things. So it's always half-truth is worse than falsity. Saying man is at the center of everything and the measure of all things. Their value will be seen in terms of that. So, what is humanistic sloganeering as it's known to us in the modern world? You know, just do it. That's humanism. What is that? What is left unsaid? that conscience you have for serene, voluntary self-restraint, don't listen to that. Just do it. Why? As I've said before, that's Nike's slogan. L'Oreal comes to answer this important question. Why? Because I'm worth it. Right? That's humanism. If you look at every ad, you know, MasterCard, master the possibilities. Right? No one's carrying a servant card in their wallet. MasterCard, master the possibilities. This card will, you know, and what is the promise of the internet? Total access to all things at all times. That's what its unspoken promise is. That you can acquire all things at all times. Right? There will be no limits to the levels of your consumption. Why? Because through acquiring, controlling, and consuming, you will find happiness. You will experience fulfillment. This is what humanism is. And it's antithetical to the culture of Krishna consciousness and the promotion of Krishna consciousness. There was an ad for one company where I thought, who's going to just spell it out, you know, without any, you know, where you have to like think about what it is they're trying to, who's just going to spell it out? And this one company, their ad, their catchphrase was total indulgence, zero guilt. Imagine, that's their motto. Total indulgence, zero guilt. Right. It doesn't really matter what it was for. Just the kind that someone said, I like that. That sounds good. Let's go with that. Some finely tuned brains from the finest schools in the world met together and came up with this slogan, right? To succinctly express their philosophy in a motto. So that's the competition. That's what we're up against. That's how this world is built on the foundation or the pillars of secular humanism. And within that world, you're trying to promote Krishna consciousness. Right? For of which Krishna himself says in the Gita, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhi yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among people, one may be interested. Of those, one may, you know, many thousands, etc., become siddha, perfect. Out of many such siddhas, one may become, you know, a liberated soul. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana kotishvapi mahamune. Out of 10 million liberated souls, muktas, one may be a devotee of Krishna. And Guru Maharaj once said, that is too much. Then you think, so what are we doing? This is some kind of, you know, what do you want? Folie à deux, you know, un deux, you know, shared madness. Mahaprabhu says, I'm puggle number one, you're puggle, you know, I'm crazy number one and you're crazy number two. We're having mad talks and mad conversations. Still, in the midst of that, right, we have a tacit, unspoken but understood obligation. As Krishna consciousness was freely extended to us, to extend it to others. And Guru Maharaj will go so far as to say that the distribution, you know, kirtan, and this back to that fight, Krishna conception fighting against the mayic misconception, that distribution is an indispensable, is indispensable to personal development. Right. So there are you could say, standard ways of representing Krishna consciousness to others, like the Atmagyan of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that we alluded to earlier, those kind of things. And then there's also expressing to others what you've appreciated about Krishna consciousness. And we never, since it's all a drop of the infinite is infinite, although there may be a general systematic approach how to expose someone to Krishna consciousness, we can never tell what might pique their interest. So once I was being interviewed by a reporter in San Jose, and she was asking me many questions that were not enlivening. You know, I was just sort of dutifully answering these questions and waiting for this to end. And at that time, Mahayogi Maharaj came and knocked on the door and he said, oh, there's two professors visiting from the University of Minnesota. And I wanted to show them a film of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. You know, which, and I knew these cassettes the best. They're numbered and I knew what was on them. And I said, like, oh, show, you know, number 5. And which one is that? I said, that's where, you know, he said, if I had a drop of, Mahaprabhu says, if I had a drop of love for Krishna, I would have died long ago. Oh, he goes, oh, yeah, that's a great lecture. I'll show that. And so, sorry to interrupt. And then he goes, and then I'm thinking, oh, back to this. And the lady says to me, can I ask you a question? You know, I said, yes, yeah. And she said, why did that person say, if I had a drop of love for Krishna, I would have died a long time ago? And I said, oh, well. And then we had a talk about Mahaprabhu. And the reason I bring that up is who would think of leading with that, right? All up to this point, apparently, she expressed little or no interest in Krishna consciousness outside of her journalistic, assignment, right? But somehow when she heard that, someone said, if I had a drop of love for Krishna, I would have died long ago. And that segues to Mahaprabhu saying, na prema gandasti drapi me horo. Because it comes from him, we're told, and it comes from the heart of Radharani. And then we learn Krishna consciousness is measured in the inverse. To the degree that one is feeling unqualified or that separation bothers them, right? There's no doubt we're separated from Krishna. Of this, there's no doubt. But what is sad is that it doesn't bother us. Right? It bothers devotees. Those who have there at a certain point, it is increasingly disturbing to them. And that's what leads to the heart developing appreciation for hearing. That's why they're qualified to hear, because their heart is actually feeling separation from Krishna, and hearing about him is the antidote to that. Right. So, on the theme of a drop of the infinite is infinite, and from Agyata Sukriti to Sukriti to Shraddha, as Prabhupada would say, somehow or other, bring people in connection with Krishna consciousness. But with the substantial thing, remember, the vaccine, it has to be real. The real stuff has to be in the vaccine. Just to want to inject everyone with something that doesn't cure the disease, just to conclude with this, so when Guru Maharaj is preaching in India, in the Gaudiya Math time. And we know to this day there are different charitable organizations, sometimes even the government. They would, like if they had surplus funds, you could get them to build a temple. And so Guru Maharaj is told he just needs to go to this one government official and they'll be giving a check to help build the Madras Gaudiya Math, perhaps. And when Guru Maharaj goes there, see, a new man is in the post, not the one who made the promise before. And when he goes to receive the check, the man's saying, that's the last thing that we'll be contributing to. Right. Saying, if there are any surplus funds, then they will be used for some humanitarian altruistic sort of works. People are getting food distribution or shelter, the different things that come under that heading. And then Guru Maharaj, on this, he's thinking, I was sent here to just like pick up a check. Now we're going to return empty-handed. And when it's expected that we're coming with something substantial to continue the construction of the temple. And he was thinking, what can I say to this man? And he was meditating on Srila Saraswati Thakur and thinking, what to say? And the reason I'm mentioning this is because what triggered his response is actually a sloka that's discussing the highest thing, right? Which are, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis. So you think, why would that provide the answer, the practical answer in this situation? So it depends on the qualification of the preacher. So Guru Maharaj is thinking of the verse, Vikriditam Brajabudu Viridam Chabishnu Shradhanvato Anusvanaya Ratavarnayajat Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabjikamam Hridrogamashu Api Hinoti Achirena Dhira. It's after Sukadev has spoken the Rasa Leela pastimes and the sages in the audience, their jaws have dropped. And they're thinking, you told us in the beginning that Narada chastised Vyas for giving religion to the world. Right? That was his thought. And what does he mean? Mundane religion, Kaitava Dharma, where it's religion for the sake of being religious. Following religious advice to live in the world, the material world, successfully or happily. So he's saying, who will want to leave? They follow what you say and they just live here. No one will ever want to be liberated from here. Right? And if we tell them otherwise, they'll go, are you a greater authority than Vedavyas? We're following his advice, what we understand from the scriptures. So Narada is saying, no, so now you have to give them they have to understand that actually what everything you could aspire for in this world is a perverted reflection of the upper world, of the actual spiritual world, where they have a spiritual form and a life of love with Krishna, that including the erotic aspect. Otherwise they'll think like, oh, the only place you can express your erotic tendency is in the material world. So you have to, no, that possibly, inconceivable as it sounds, that possibility is there. That's why Madan Mohan is the first deity. Must break the stranglehold that Cupid has on the heart. So anyway, they're saying, so you told us in the beginning that Jukupsitam Dharma Krite, so that religion was the objectionable thing. Now you're telling us the objectionable thing is religion. Wow. So the most objective, and it's one thing you're telling us that the supreme absolute truth, the ultimate reality, is a man, is human-like. But now, and that's, we're still trying to get our heads around that, and now you're telling us that not only that, but he's an immoral man on top of it all. So that's why they're perplexed. Right? And these famous verses come from Sukadeva in response, saying, you know, Shiva drank an ocean of poison, unaffected, just his neck became blue, known as Nilkantha. So again, back to this point I alluded to earlier. When is this not like poison? Saying, when the heart is feeling genuine separation from Krishna, then this will be like the antidote to that. If the heart is not like that, dhira, but is still distracted, disturbed, sense disturbance of this world, then they're saying, then not to contemplate these pastimes. You'll project upon it that it's mundane, like the mundane affairs of men and women in this world. So that's one. Another one is saying, and it's like the origin of do as I say, not as I do, in Sanskrit. He said, the Ishvaranam, satyam vachanam, where he's saying, you follow the advice of the Ishvaras, but don't imitate their behavior. It's like, do as I say, not as I do. But that works if you are the supreme absolute truth. Accept no substitutes. That, and then this verse comes. Vikriditam idam brajabhadubhir idam cha Vishnu. And it's interesting, is although it's talking about Krishna, he used the word Vishnu, meaning saying, these pastimes of Krishna with Radharani and Brajagopis, they're the pastime, Vishnu here means God. These are God's pastimes. Right? And they're free from any mundane color, coloration or aspect, right? And saying, and to approach them, shradhanvato anushranaya datam, you have to hear from genuine devotees of Krishna in the parampara system. You have to, it's not a question of data transfer or accessing particular information. It's imparted with a particular spirit, heart, right? But then comes the line that Guru Maharaj uses, and it says, Hridrogam, says, what are we suffering? Why this heart-to-heart transaction is so important? Because Hridrogam means we're suffering from heart disease. And what is that heart disease? It's consumerism, exploitation, acquiring, controlling, consuming to achieve fulfillment. See, that is the disease that we're suffering from. Right. That is what Hridrogam is. And saying, and these pastimes of Krishna, they're about dedication and devotion. They're the cure for that diseased condition of heart. And then Guru Maharaj gave, you know, this startling example. And he said, when I was in the body of a stool-eating pig, I ate mountains of stool, and that hunger was not satisfied. What? And what else did he say? Oh, yeah. And when I was in the body of an elephant, I ate jungles, and that hunger was not satisfied. So what will satisfy, what will address that heart disease is hearing this competing narrative. You hear this narrative. Broadcast this narrative, make propaganda about this, Krishna conception. And that will awaken this prospect that I will not find fulfillment in the world of exploitation as an exploiting agent, but offering myself, like by trying to acquire, control, and consume things that are lower than me, but by offering myself in service to that which is infinitely higher than me. Guru Maharaj says, land of dedication, devotion. Right? That is love. Right? So when Guru Maharaj was telling that man, he turned to him and said, "Swamiji, I believe in God." And Guru Maharaj said, "Your tears are the evidence of that." He actually started crying. And then he gave the check. So what he understood, Guru Maharaj's point was, just to open another food distribution center or some, you know, that kind of thing, shelter, just remain bound in this world, right, of, you know, dukkhalayama shashvatam, of suffering, whereas what is really needed is to open a center where people can come and hear the compelling competitive narrative of Krishna conception. So we do that individually, and we do it collectively through publishing, as he had done, book distribution. But there has to, broadcasting a competing narrative, and according to the capacity of the preachers is how compelling they make that. Hare Krishna. Hari Hari Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo Hari Hari Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Echai Gochai Kori Charana Bandhan Jaha Hoite Vignanash Abhista Puran Echai Gochai Jar Mui Taro Das Sansavara Padarenu Mora Pansagras Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas Janame Janame More Abhilas Chai go chai jale praje kwe lo vas Radha Krishna nitya lila kori lo prakash Anande bolo hari vaja vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava pade majai aman Siguru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriya Kori Nam Sankirtan Koe Narottamadai Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, 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 Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Rasa Bihari Jiu Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Navadeep Dam Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jumuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varanya Srilesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Madhacharya Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalavadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Sri Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Lilavati Devi Dasi Ki Jai. She just returned from China preaching. Saw you in the classroom with children, right? Yeah, in the school, and they're all chanting. So think about that, chanting Hare, as Gurudev once said. He said, mainly after interacting with all of us, he said, nothing will surprise me. And then he said, but one thing surprises me, that they're chanting Hare Krishna in China.
Shenzhen, Rathapriya in Shenzhen, yeah. She saw our video and she teach her students.
Uh-huh.
Like chanting.
So
like
a little transcendental competition. Yeah. There you go. Hare Krishna. Nai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna. Give that to Lilavati. She will.
Jai Govinda. My dandava to all and much appreciated to see Maharaj on air again. Dhananjaya Prabhu, Russia, Ajita Krishna Prabhu, and many other devotees watching us.
Bancha Kalpa Tribhya Stav Kripa Sindhu Veva Chapati Tanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna.